week, actually. I'm going to go back to Memphis to 200% humidity and a lot hotter that's going to be here today, I think. It is always a joy to come to a new place where someone has heard the good news of the work that we do and is ready to plant it in their own soil, as is the case here at St. Francis. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a work with children, but also with adults. It is a work that takes very seriously Jesus' teaching to us about children in our midst. It's very interesting to me that in the Gospels, Jesus never speaks to adults and reminds them that they are to teach the children all they know about the faith. And obviously, it can't mean that we're not supposed to do that. And it doesn't. I think Jesus was giving us the benefit of the doubt that we knew the Old Testament. That we knew that in the very beginning of giving God's law, the Torah, that he had made very clear that we are to teach our children the faith, that we are to write it on the doorpost of our homes, that we are to carry it with us wherever we go and be that teacher to our children. I think Jesus understood that as adults, we might have gotten that message, but we had perhaps missed something as or more important about children. In Matthew 18, 1 through 4, he sums up his new teaching on children by saying three things. He says we are to welcome them. He says they are the greatest in the kingdom of God. And then he says this third thing that I think is the hardest for us as adults to really take seriously. He says, and you must change and become like them. That's very easy to dismiss. It just means we're supposed to be more trusting or happier. But we believe in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd that he was calling us to something much more serious. We believe he was calling us to really look at children and really learn what is it about their religious life, their natural relationship with God, that we as adults need. So we look at the child. My teacher, Dr. Sophia Cavalletti, began this work in 1954 in Rome. She herself was a great Hebrew scholar, a cradle Catholic, but she had studied Hebrew. She had nothing to do with children whatsoever, but someone knew that if they could somehow get her to be with children, she would discover their great potential, and then she could share her great wealth of knowledge about the Bible and the liturgy. So this friend of hers basically tricked her by asking her to do a favor for her and do something with the Bible with her nephew, a five-year-old nephew. Sophia sat down with this child and very humbly just began to read from the book of Genesis with this child. And it was the child's immediate interest and joy to be pondering such important things. And that changed Sophia's life. She is now 91 almost. She has spent all of these 50-plus years with the children. And she has been our teacher internationally. The work has spread. We are now in 29 countries. It is being done with the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. Most recently, the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters, have adopted Catechesis of the Good Shepherd as the way they will work with the poorest children. What a great legacy for my teacher that she knows now it will reach those poorest children. We look at that call of Jesus and we say, what did he mean? Why would he call us as adults to turn and become like children? What are they really like? We believe because we've seen with our own eyes over these 50 plus years that children are, first of all, very essential. They really want the best we have to offer. They really are not satisfied with the kind of circles around the important things. They want us to look them in the eye and give them the richest mysteries we have of our faith. They are also rich in wonder. And this is another characteristic that's easy to dismiss. You know, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had time to be amazed at the stars or, the spider making the web. But the scriptures teach us that wonder is essential for our spirit. And the little children have that wonder. They are simultaneously both very connected to the physical reality around them. They're the ones that smell the flowers and that feel the rain on their skin. They are alive in their senses, but they are also very aware of that which is hidden and that which is transcendent, the realm of God. They are also rich in their capacity to contemplate, to really look at and listen to the gift. And our God is a God who gives. That's how God has communicated his own self to us, is through gift. Young children, even very young, are open to the gift. And they are also capable of responding in very deep and rich ways. Their prayers are very, very rich. Sophia, in her book, The Religious Potential of a Child, gives the example of a young child, 4 years old, who heard the parable of the Good Shepherd presented. And her prayer was this deep sigh. And she said, in Italian, but she said, my body is happy. That's a whole person receiving of that gift. We create a space for them we call the atrium, a beautiful place that cultivates their natural desire for and attraction to silence and reverence and very holy things. It's something our culture does not usually cultivate in them. And although children love to run and play and dance, they also love these holy mysteries, and they need a dwelling place, just as you have here as adults. In this space, we bring them to the richest kernels of truth in the Bible and in the liturgy, and we give them time to really sink into those things and make them their own. We heard this morning that reading from Acts, Pentecost, and Peter is reminding those adults of the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says very clearly, this promise was for you and for your children. And what an incredible gift that is. The many gifts that the Spirit brings. And among them, as Jesus told us at Last Supper, is that it is the Spirit that is the true teacher. It is the Spirit that will bring us to the fullness of truth. When we baptize our babies, they are anointed with holy chrism, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so already we believe they have been given this inner teacher. What a great privilege then to provide a space where that teacher can bring them into the fullness of truth of our faith. one of the works we give them to do in the atrium as a way of prayer, as a way of response to this great truth, is art. We also have many beautiful materials. I'll be showing them at the gathering after this service when we'll go into more depth with this. They have beautiful materials, a sheepfold, parable materials, liturgical materials. And they can work with those, but they can also do artwork. And we get to see in their artwork some of how deeply God's truth does resonate in them. I carry around with me my personal favorite. It was done by an Italian child of 4.5 years old. It is a drawing of the Good Shepherd . Around the Good Shepherd, you see many sheep, and by each sheep, this child has written the name of that sheep. Because when they hear the parable of the Good Shepherd, one of the things that comes through loudest and clearest to them is that he calls them by their name. This deeply personal love of God. And yet, simultaneously, he calls them into a flock. And the children get that, too. That he desires that we gather together, that we need each other, that our fullness of joy comes both in hearing him for ourselves and in sharing that joy with each other. The image of the shepherd was the pagan image for paradise. You can see it in pre-Christian art. It was their pastoral scene that indicated what heaven or paradise would be like. The Christians took that same image of the shepherd, but they Christianized that image. It's the image you'll see then in the catacombs, the earliest places of gathering for worship. And how they Christianized it was to put a sheep on his shoulders, because they understood that he came to seek and to save, to gather in the lost. Our statue that we have of the Good Shepherd in the atrium has a sheep on the shepherd's shoulders. And this child has drawn, in effect, that sheep, but he's made the sheep like a neck scarf around the shepherd. We'll give you a chance later to look at this a little more closely, but that sheep's face is in a state of complete bliss, just dizzy bliss. I looked at this drawing for many years and loved it, but only in the very recent years have I seen what I think now is perhaps the most radical teaching for us as adults. And perhaps one of the reasons Jesus said, you must turn and become like them. And that is the face of the shepherd. This is not a face of a savior who's just here to do his job because, well, that's what God sent him to do, and of course he's going to do it. What kind of a face is it? It's a face that is equally blissful, because he's with his sheep. The Bible tells us throughout that God delights in his people. But I wonder how many of us as adults really picture him being that happy to be in our midst. The children have many treasures to give us, and it's as we seek to serve their deep religious needs and capacities that we too get to, as the psalm said, we get to enter those gates more directly because they have the key. You are very blessed, I believe, to have this now being planted in your midst. Amen.